Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We carry the largest in-stock selection of Hunter ceiling fans. They provide consistent comfort all year round and also help reduce energy costs. Right now, save big on Hunter ceiling fans when you shop at Menards. View our entire selection of Hunter ceiling fans today on Menards.com. Plus, our weekly flyer with plenty more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
What is up? Welcome into Season 2 of Texans on Tap. It's Episode 2. I'm Brandon Strange. I'm joined by Josh Jordan and Charlie Palillo. Read their work on sportsmat.com and follow them on X at Palillo and at JoshJordan975. Gents, it's the preseason, so wins and losses don't really mean anything, but it's nice to see the offense go into the half with that 17-0 lead. They did get a gift there to avoid the last-minute touchdown at the half, but they hold on to the lead, 20-12, our final. We did get to see some glimpses of that much-anticipated duo of Stroud and Dell. Gents, I'll give it to you guys. What were your takeaways from what we saw from tonight's starters on offense?
Well, a little beyond a cameo, a couple of series for Stroud. The offensive line was still more junior varsity than varsity. No Tunsil or Howard at tackle, no Shaq Mason. You touched upon what was the highlight, seeing Tank Dell, get loose in the seam, ditch a defender and, take it to the house. Is that still what the kids say? So, Tank Dell, seemingly no aftershocks, lingering effects from the broken leg last year, the shooting, in the off season. He just brings that combination, the difference between fast and quick. Tank Dell's both fast and quick. They really have an ideal trio. If you were to dial up what you want from a wide receiver trio, right? Nico Collins, he's the physical prototype. Stephon Diggs is the polished route runner to work the inside. And then Tank Dell is just the pure burner. The potency is unquestioned. This is one of the 5-6 most dynamic wide receiver threesomes in the NFL.
Yeah, and going off of Charlie right there, right? Brandon and I did a video a couple months ago about how the Texans receivers are kind of similar to the Patriots receivers when Nick Caserio was actually the wide receivers coach. That's when it was Wes Welker and Randy Moss and Dante Stallworth. And these guys that the Texans have, they kind of have a similar thing going on. And Nico's the 6'4 guy, kind of like Randy Moss. And then Welker, that could kind of be Stephon Diggs or Tank Dell, you know, working in the slot. Both those guys can do that, and they can both play outside. So that was great to see. The other thing D'Amico mentioned was he wanted to get these guys in the game so they could feel what it's like to be tackled to the ground and get used to that. You know, at practice, they try and keep you stood up. And if we think back to that Tank Dell touchdown, the play before it, C.J. Stroud almost got sacked, but he got rid of the ball just in time. He got tackled to the ground. He got up, and then the next play, boom, you got that touchdown there. So it was nice to see, you know, C.J. bounce back. That was something early in his rookie year where he was taking some of those sacks. This time he got rid of the football. He learned from that mistake from last year. Big touchdown to Tank. So, you know, everybody looked healthy. Like you mentioned, most of the offensive line, well, I guess three of them were in the game and the other two were out, but running the football still looking like an issue. There was not much running room there for Damian Pierce. I thought Ogunbowale looked a little better in his little limited time on the field.
I know in the regular season, many people think that the NFL has been softied and that quarterbacks can be overprotected. In preseason, I go all the way. Make a two-hand touch of quarterbacks. I don't think that would have teams saying, hey, you know what, to get more reps in practice and to make a more palatable product to our fans, we'll play our number one quarterback a lot more in the preseason. But remember, the Steelers tonight, no TJ Watt, no Cameron Haywood, no Alex Highsmith on the back end, no Minka Fitzpatrick. So, you know, any grades, of course, are meaningless unless it's a player impressing to either make the team or failing miserably to get himself cut. Yikes, Steelers punt returner Quez Watkins. I don't know if he's farsighted or what, but Tommy Townsend with a couple of booming punts, you know, a very good replacement for Cameron Johnston, who is excellent here, but the Texans didn't want to go 3 years of money, so they hire away Townsend from the Chiefs. And then Watkins, if that was a Texans return man, the way he didn't go after the ball that he muffed. I'm sure Mike Tomlin's either going to ream him out or just get him a one-way ticket out of Latrobe. That's where the Steelers have their training camp. On punt returning, I know he's dynamic. I'm not wild about Tank Dell being back there ever. He's just so tiny, and he's so valuable as that speed kills and speed burns element to the Texans wide receiver package that we were talking about. Steven Sims is competent, right? He had a return for a score last season. That would be my punt returner. If Sims is on the roster, it's going to be purely as a return man. We talked some last week about how many of these wide receivers are going to make it after the lead three among Mechie and Woods and Noah Brown and Xavier Hutchinson. If Sims is making the team, he should be the featured kickoff return man and punt return man. Save Tank Dell to play with Stroud and Collins and Diggs and Dalton.
I'm with Charlie on this. We don't need to see Tank out there on special teams. And I know he broke a nice little play there. And maybe the thinking is, oh, hey, on two receiver sets, he's not going to be on the field. This will get some opportunities for him to make a big play in the game. But we saw him go out last year and how much it impacted the offense in a negative way. To me, it's just not worth it. Like Charlie mentioned, you have other guys that can do that job. And I think Cam Akers jumped out too. Again, he looked good in the first preseason game. I know we're not quite sure if he's going to make the team. It's a numbers game. It's about playing special teams. But once again, he made some nice catches and some moves and some good runs there. So I'm starting to get worried a little bit about Damian Pierce, because like Charlie mentioned, a lot of the starters weren't there for the Steelers on defense. I mean, they could get nothing going there on the ground. It was 4 carries for 4 yards for Damian Pierce. So, I mean, really everybody, even Jordan looked better than Pierce today. So I hope Damian, I hope it's just a preseason thing that he gets it going here.
You don't have to carry 4 running backs. In fact, generally speaking, unless you're getting serious special teams contribution, which Ogunbowale can bring to the table, Damian Pierce, could go from a wow of a rookie season to not making the team. His third season, he'd be the guy that it wouldn't be a stunning development if he were cut, just as John Mechie, a second round pick in the Pierce draft class, isn't a lock to make the team when you just play the numbers game at their positions.
Yeah, not only do I not want to see Dell on special teams, I don't want to see him in the preseason on special teams, because I want him breaking plays during the regular season and not breaking anything else during the preseason. Josh, before we jumped on, you mentioned some interesting observations about how, or you had some observations on how the wide receivers were deployed. What'd you see?
Yeah, this is the big thing everybody's wondering about. How are they going to use these guys, right? So basically, when Nico and Diggs were on the field, when it was a 2 wide receiver set, when they go to 11 personnel, it was Tank Dell coming in. And what was interesting is, except for like one play, Diggs was in the slot when it was a 3 wide receiver set. So Tank was going outside. Tank did play in the slot on one play, but I thought that was interesting. It seems like this is how they're going to use these guys, which makes sense, right? Last year, they needed somebody over the middle of the field on third down that CJ could get the ball to and just pick up an easy third down. And, Diggs is that guy that's just really good in the middle of the field, just creating space. He's really quick. He's a polished route runner. He's great for that. And we know how, like Charlie mentioned, Tank's quick and fast. He can take the top off the defense. Nico can get deep. Diggs can do that too. But I think this is kind of letting us know how they're going to use these guys. So you may not see Tank on the field as much when there's only 2 receivers. And the other thing I noticed was Pierce played all the snaps with the starters at running back. So they really are trying to get him in that role. And without Joe Mixon being available, and he's an older running back dealing with an injury, they're going to have to lean on their second running back at some point this year. So those were a couple of those observations. The Texans ran 6 plays with the starters total in this game.
The so-called skill positions, the guys who handle the ball, Joe Mixon's not an elite running back, but he's a good running back. The Texans have a Super Bowl contending collection of skill position talent. Is the offense going to be Super Bowl caliber as part of a Super Bowl caliber team or AFC championship contending team? The offensive line, where Tunsil's really good. He's not Anthony Munoz, but he's a really good left tackle. Titus Howard back in his comfort zone at right tackle. Shaq Mason's a solid veteran. that leaves the other two spots, right? Kenyon Green is a prove it. He's been a flat out bust, injury and performance a couple of years in. And then the fifth guy's the center, Juice Scruggs. You don't want to overreact to one play or even one game in the preseason, but he got turnstiled for a sack early in the game, or in the first half anyway. It was Davis Mills who got sacked, not Stroud. But Juice Scruggs, second round pick a year ago, rookie season, really set back by injury and then got to play some late in the season. He is the starting center, right? They don't want Jared Patterson. He filled in. But Juice Scruggs is supposed to be the guy. Kenyon Green, you hope that he's the guy. Scruggs is supposed to be the guy. And you hope that he's not a soft spot in the middle of the Texans' offensive line.
Another guy worth mentioning, as you mentioned him, Charlie, was Davis Mills. Looked good in his snaps. Obviously, you know, you hope you don't want to see Mills. But he's had a couple of years now to hold the clipboard, grow and develop as a quarterback himself. What's your confidence level in Mills being able to come in and manage a game as needed?
I think he's fine as a backup. And he should retire a very rich man. You think guys like Chase Daniel, who hang in the league 10, 15 years as a backup because they're good guys. They understand their role and they just collect check after check after check, year after year after year. I don't think Davis Mills has starting caliber talent, but look at a guy he's ahead of on the Texans depth chart and should remain that way. Case Keenum, right? Case Keenum is going to retire with generations of income for future Keenums already taken care of. I think that's the arc for Davis Mills. If C.J. Stroud, heaven forbid, were to go down with a long-term injury, the Texans' offense would be dragged down. But for a game or two, you know, like losing a superstar in the NBA, you can kind of suck it up collectively. But not that it was all about Davis Mills being the starter in 2022, defining what the Texans were in 2022. But essentially night and day, going from Davis Mills to C.J. Stroud, you don't want to have to go back there.
No. And I thought Mills did do some nice. He took a sack on a play action play. And then a couple plays later on third and 15, he had a really nice throw to Woods. He had to run a little bit. Nice throw on first. I almost thought it looked like he ran past the line of scrimmage there. But apparently he didn't. So that was a big play right there. And then, you know, Ogunbowale punches it in. So I thought that was a really nice drive. If you have to go with Davis Mills for a couple games, it's not the end of the world, but that's really all you're looking for there. But yeah, he's going to kind of like David Carr before him. He's probably going to make a lot of money backing people up.
Yeah. It's not the end of the world. If it's a couple of games, it might be the end of the world if it's for more than a couple of games. Yep. And as far as Keenum goes, even as a third string quarterback, I think it's pretty cool to see a UH guy on the Texans. I think that's a pretty cool story to see him come full circle back to Houston. Let's talk about defense. Hey, we got to see a Danielle Hunter sack pretty early on. What were your thoughts on the Texans defense, at least, you know, for those for the first half, at least?
I mean, that was item one of not many, frankly, on my checklist. Steelers offense, not very good looking, and maybe Justin Fields grows into the job. I mean, they're really counting on 35, 36-year-old Russell Wilson already addled with a calf problem in preseason. Steelers could get left in the dust in the AFC North behind the Ravens, the Browns pending Deshaun Watson. Anyway, back to the Texans defense. You can just see Hunter's burst. I mean, he's been kind of under the radar as a year-in, year-out, really good pass rusher, because the Vikings haven't made any deep playoff runs since Case Keenum quarterbacked them to an NFC championship game. Stephon Diggs figuring in there as well. No Danico Autry opens up additional snaps in the interior for the first 6 weeks of the season. Other than that, I mean, look, the Steelers didn't score for a while well into the game, but it was such a limited taste. I didn't have anyone else on my board. And frankly, the second half, not watching closely snap in, snap out. But a no harm, no foul night for the defense for me.
Yeah, I thought Fatakasi looked good at D tackle. He jammed some stuff up there in the middle. And then Mario Edwards, John Harris made some points about how good he looked in camp this year during the broadcast. So I was like, that's good to know, since you do have Autry out for the first six games of the season. You have some of the guys there at D tackle. You lose Sheldon Rankins. You know, Malik Collins is gone. You're going to have to you got some new blood in there to watch out for. So I think all in all, they look pretty good. And then I also thought that, what was it, Kalen Bullock, he showed his range again on some plays in this game. And he was the one that had that really nice tackle in the Hall of Fame game where he forced the fumble. So that looks like a really good pick at safety. The guy can run. The knock on him is, can he tackle? So we'll continue to watch that. But it seems like he kind of stood out, jumped off my TV screen a little bit.
First couple of snaps for the Steelers, C.J. Henderson whiffed pretty badly on a tackle. I mean, George Pickens is a good receiver, probably the Steelers' best receiver now. But C.J. Henderson's basically washed out a couple of spots already. You know, still a young guy, ninth overall pick in the draft. But Jacksonville dumped him. Then he was a temp in Carolina. That's a guy who's not necessarily a lock to make the Texans either.
Yeah, I'd also like to point out, too, just special teams. Fairbairn, we've talked about it. He's so accurate, and we see why they re-signed him. But in the big, big moments, he'll miss him from time to time. And they had a chance to ice this game, and he missed a pretty easy one.
Yeah, we actually had a comment from one of our viewers asking if Dare could be the short field kicker and then Fairbairn be their long field goal kicker. Speaking of special teams, we saw the debut of Tommy Townsend. I know you touched on it a little bit, Charlie, but what do you think Tommy adds to this team? I mean, certainly has a booming leg, certainly enough to where the Steelers certainly misread those first couple of punts.
Cam Johnston was very good here. Big leg, also very adept at dropping it inside the 20, but Townsend's credentialed. And I mean, it's not like the Chiefs Super Bowls the last 2 years swung on Tommy Townsend winning the field position battle for the Chiefs. That Mahomes fella had more to do with it. But Townsend's very good. So the Texans just didn't want to go an additional year with Cameron Johnston. So Townsend replacing him, that should be as seamless as it goes, unless he's butterfingers on holds. That I'm not aware of. He would have gotten the job if he were. So the Texans lost a really good punter, but they brought in a really good punter.
Yeah, and wasn't he the one with Cam Johnston with a late hit on Tank Dell? They're out of bounds on the sideline. I think that might have been the case there. I think they said that.
The one that was uncalled where he hits him well out of bounds? Yeah.
Yes, that was uncalled for sure.
A little friendly fire there.
Yeah, especially with a little guy like Tank. Like, that's not cool, man. The other thing I wanted to highlight is John Metchie here. Just looking at him trying to make the team. And we're all rooting for the guy. Second round pick out of Alabama. But it is a crowded receiver group. In that first game against the Bears last week, one catch for 4 yards. In today's game, one catch for 7 yards. Like, he's going to have to stand out a little more than that, I think, to you know, cement a role on this club.
If you guys have anything left, what's your final notes take away from our official preseason game one, Texans Steelers?
Well, it's two down, two to go. I'm curious how D'Amico Ryans intends to handle playing time. You know, it's a full 2 weeks from the preseason finale to the regular season opener. So what's the balance between a dress rehearsal? You want to play the first team, maybe to get a half's worth of NFL stamina and action under their belts before you go live in Indianapolis versus, you know what? It's still 2 weeks of downtime. So is playing that last preseason game more than token action worth it at all? You know, to me, that's where if they put the red vest on quarterbacks in the preseason, then maybe I'd say, okay, you want to get C.J. Stroud a few extra reps and a couple of extra series to work with Diggs and anyone else you're incorporating, Mixon. But I think you err on the side of caution.
For me, I'll be kind of curious to see what happens, with the tight end group. We had Brevin Jordan didn't play today, so we had to see, you know, Schultz play a little longer than some of the other starters. Cade Stover looked good again, a couple catches, 26 yards. So you wonder if he's going to matter here in this, or, you know, Brevin Jordan, I think this is a walk year for him, so he's going to want to have a good season. So I'll be interested to watch how the tight end group shakes out as the rest of the preseason unfolds. Just a little bit of housekeeping there. I was looking at the box score from the other game. Stover had 3 for 32 against the Steelers. It was 2 for 26 against the Bears last week. So I just wanted to make that correction.
That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. Just a reminder, we'll be reacting to every game this season live following the conclusion of each game, and we hope that you're around to join us. All right, that's going to be it, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. And as always, go Texans.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.